The Song Ministry of Charles Albert Tinley, from National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. I'm Bernice Johnson Regan, and this is Wade in the Water.
Wade in the water.
Wade in the water, children. My God's going to trouble the water. Why don't you?
Reverend Charles Albert Tinley was born during the 1850s on the eastern shore of Maryland. He grew up in a community going through the wrenching throes of a dying slave system. He grew up among strongly religious Black Methodist people. He moved to Philadelphia before he was 20, and having taught himself to read and write, was soon able to pass the exams to become a Methodist minister. When the 20th century dawned, he was nearly 50 years old. We've created this program about Tinley because of what he did as a minister in Philadelphia during the last 30 years of his life. It was the songs he wrote. Songs that were a part of his sermons, and we were swept up by them because they called our names as we, as African Americans, struggled to make sense of a life free of the chains of slavery.
By and by, oh, when the morning comes, you know, seas of bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. When the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by.
Oh, children, by
and by. Oh, when the morning comes, you know.
Now, I don't really remember not knowing we'll understand it better by and by. It seems I was born into the singing of that song. Like most of my first songs, it came to me in the midst of singing congregations. And I learned the song without learning the name of the composer, Reverend Charles Albert Tinley. And during the search on Reverend Tenley at the Smithsonian, I was able to put together a team of scholars. Gospel music historian and professor of music Horace Clarence Boyer analyzed the works created by this composer.
Charles Albert Tenley, whom I call the progenitor of African-American gospel music, was extremely important to this genre, which is now the most popular music of this, the last half of the 20th century, because Tenley created the language and the form of what we know of today as gospel music. Remember that Tenley was a product of the era of the first gospel hymn composers. These were such white composers as Philip Paul Bliss, Ira Sankey, Charles Converse, who wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and Homer Rhoda Heaver. Now, that was a particular style for the white hymn, and that was to have a verse and a chorus. And when you came to the chorus, you would have soprano and alto mixed against the tenor and bass. Such subject as What a Friend We Have in Jesus, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. Now, this speaks to a community in a marvelous way. What it does not do, however, is address the individual problems which blacks, illiterate, poor, transient during the first quarter of the 20th century had to deal with. Now, the language Tenley chooses is the language that you would find on the street corner, the language that you would find in the home, the language that you would find in the church. For example, in 1905, he wrote this: when the storms of life are raging, Lord, stand by me. And he goes on to say this: when the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, thou who rulest all winds and waters, Lord, stand by me. The idea of this principal theme, stand by me, coming back and forth is the way that black people talked. And remember that I'm talking now before Martin Luther King began to reiterate, or before Jesse Jackson. One of his most popular songs, which people took up as a phrase, was, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let the Lord have his way. Let Jesus fix it for you.
Song I ever sang was written by Charles Albert Tenley. I was 7 years old when a little girl of four died in our community. My teacher, Mrs. Mamie Daniels, asked my mother if my sister and I could sing a song at the funeral. And she taught my sister Mae Frances, who was five, and me this song, What Are They Doing There Now? And I've been singing it ever since.
There was some whose bodies were full of disease. No medicine nor doctor could give them much ease. Lord, they suffered.
What Are They Doing in Heaven Today? A composition by Charles Albert Tenley that, when it moved into the African American sacred music community, became a funeral song. I'm joined in the performance of this gospel hymn by Michelle Lanchester and Yasmeen, and we're accompanied on guitar by my daughter Toshi Regan. We do this program today not because Tenley wrote new songs, but because black people grabbed them up as their favorites, and in the way of the African American tradition, gave the greatest salute to the composer by reshaping them so that in performance, the song became the new inventive work of the singer. At the end of the 20s, Victor Recording Company released a series of records by a Texas minister, Reverend Washington Phillips, who played a rare instrument called the dociola. Among his most popular recordings was the composition by Reverend Tenley called Leave It There.
Leave it now, oh, leave it now. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you will trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I have the word from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you'll have to get along with Major Sam. Just remember in God's word how he fed those little boys. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there.
Reverend Washington Phillips and Charles Albert Tenley's Leave It There. This composition by Phillips has a country ballad feel in the tradition of the Texas songsters. The same song was recorded several decades later by the late Reverend James Cleveland, and this time it was rendered in the 1960s gospel choir style.
Trials dark on every hand. Oh, sometimes we just don't understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. It's no secret. Never thought to be. If you make one step, he sure will make two. All you got to do is take your burden. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. You can leave. Take your burdens to the Lord. stay and leave them there. Paula,
Reverend James Cleveland and the Angelic Choir performing Charles Albert Tenley's Leave It There. Reverend Tenley came out of a rich sacred song tradition. Many of his tunes were from the repertoire of hymns and spirituals he grew up with as a child. Occasionally, he would take a spiritual, for example, and create verses in the hymn structure, extending the theme. This was the case with the spiritual Poor Pilgrim of Sorrow, sometimes also known as City Called Heaven. Although Tenley wrote verses to this traditional text, the African-American community continued to sing the older song in the various styles created as we move through the 20th century. We will now listen to Poor Pilgrim of Sorrow, performed by the Dixie Hummingbirds.
I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow, tossed in this wide world.
Dixie Hummingbirds of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and their stunning free-form line performance of Poor Pilgrim of Sorrow. Charles Albert Tenley told personal stories to show the motivation behind the creation of a new song. The gospel hymn Nothing Between was written as a result of Tenley trying to write outside. He said that a piece of trash got picked up by the wind, and every time he tried to write, the trash would get between his pen and his paper. And he finally said to himself, that's how it is with Satan. The devil is always trying to get between God's people and God. And so he wrote the song, Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior, here performed by Marion Williams.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior. No.
Nothing Between, I think one of the most exciting things for me to think back and remember now is that the preacher, Tindley, came to our house for dinner.
Dr. James Hoy, organist and minister of music at Tindley Temple.
And I had learned to play Nothing Between. This is in the preteen years. And while the folk were talking, I went in and played Nothing Between. And I remember he stopped talking and listened and patted me on my head and said, that's fine, son, you'll be a fine musician one day. And I grew 10 feet tall.
Research on Reverend Tindley, I was soon led to Berlin, Maryland, the community where he was born, and where today there's still a section known as Tinley Town because there were so many Tinleys in his father's line. Tinley's father was a slave, but his mother's family, the Robins, were freeborn. So when his mother died when he was a baby, he was raised by her sister, and he spent his earliest years in that family.
My name is Esther Robins Jackson. My great-grandmother was Caroline Robins. She is the woman who raised Charles Albert Tinley from a nursing baby. Hers was the only breast he ever nursed.
When Tinley was old enough to work, he went back to his father's house and was farmed out to plantations in the community. He led this hard life, working during the day, learning to read at night, until he was determined to find something better. He left Berlin and headed for the city.
At 16, he went to Philadelphia. He did get a job, what they call carrying the hide, that was waiting on the bricklayers that were building the brick houses at that time. If you're going to go to a big city from a small town, you either had to have someone who would house you, there was no money for paying rent, or relatives. And of course, these two aunts were his relatives, and they were glad to receive him.
Well, the end of the Civil War brings the end of slavery and a chance for families that had been dislocated and torn apart to begin to search and for one another and try to reconnect these families.
Historian Spencer Crew.
So what you begin having happen are freed people now beginning to move about and take advantage of their freedom in ways in which they could look for family members to reunite those families, or moving to get away from those plantations on which they'd spent so many years, often unhappy years, and looking for other places to live and a chance to start a life anew for themselves, and also looking for land that they could work and use for themselves. So you have a lot of movement taking place after the Civil War, usually within the same state, but people trying to get away from their old lives and starting anew in new locations. So that movement continues right through the Civil War into the Reconstruction years. Most of it is from rural area to rural area, but you also have some movement that takes place from rural areas into the cities.
This was the natural line of migration from the eastern shores of Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware. When they came to Philadelphia, they gravitated to this church because so many of them had heard about one of their sons who had left Berlin, Maryland, and come to Philadelphia, began here as a janitor in the church, and ultimately became the distinguished pastor and the preacher that was renowned all over the nation.
Temple was filled with seats, they tell me, 3,200 people, and he would fill it to the gallery. Of course, his choir loft is in the upper part of the church also. And he would fill it every Sunday, and people would bring their bag lunch in the morning so they'd have a seat for the afternoon service.
Tinley Temple member Dr. Oscar DeShields.
There was a sermon in every hymn he wrote. They are singing his hymns all over the world. And some individuals do not know that he was a beautiful Afro-American man.
I knew Reverend Tinley, I guess, about 1916.
Reverend Marion O. Ballard, former pastor of Tinley Temple.
What I liked most about his preaching was that he could take small things and bring so much out of something small. A rose, for instance.
I am the rose of Sharon.
All right. Yes.
And the lily of the valley. My friends, we have come this morning to give audience to the eloquence of the rose and the lily and to all the tribes of Blade and Leaf.
I'm Jeanette Hampton, the great-granddaughter of Reverend Charles Albert Tinley.
We have heard him speak in the thunder.
In my way of thinking, he always preached about people's obstacles, you know, and don't feel that you can't overcome them, because you can. And then when he get in that and tell what God had did for him, that's when the sermon just took off.
Are you looking for a spring morning sometime when all the snow and storms and clouds shall be gone? And the sky of peace and the winds of a gentle friendship shall welcome you to a joy you never knew before? Are you expecting to see the flight of the beautiful butterfly and the landscape waving with the beauty of flower and leaf and blade? Are you listening now? Are you listening now for the voice of the turtle? Oh, yes! Oh, yes, you may have one or two or three more snowstorms. You may have to button your coat and run for shelter before the doors of your spring shall be opened. But be of good cheer. The flowers tell me that they waited until the rain was over and gone. The time of the singing, the birds had come, and the voice of the turtle was heard in the land. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation,
Charles Albert Tinley's songs and sermons were but a part of his ministry in South Philadelphia. Horace Clarence Boyer.
And I believe that Tinley, who was a great civil rights worker in Philadelphia at the turn of the century, he came back, he left Philly in 1885, and came back in 1902 as pastor of the Bainbridge Street Methodist Church. And even in his own church, and here we're talking about before Father Divine and Daddy Grace began to do such things, Tinley had soup kitchens. He went out finding jobs for people. He would visit the hospital. He was very concerned about moving black people in particular into the economic mainstream of Philadelphia. And there is no doubt, but when you hear a song like I'll Overcome Someday, like the Negro spiritual, which so inspired him, it has a religious function and it has a social function. But when he wrote I'll overcome someday, you cannot tell me but that Tinley was not thinking of going to heaven, which is overcoming, but also becoming a part of the social and political mainstream of the United States. We're not together, the sense of that song.
Coming out of the 19th century into the 20th century in Baptist and Methodist congregations throughout the South, you could hear different versions of this song. If you were on the islands off the coast of Charleston, John's Island, James Island, you might hear a melody like this.
I will overcome. I will overcome. I will overcome someday.
If you moved further south, mainland, southwest Georgia, where I grew up, the melody is in this style.
I'll overcome, I'll overcome, I'll overcome someday. Oh, if in my heart I do not yield, oh, I will overcome someday.
Now this I'll Overcome Someday is much closer to the song that began to pour forth over the airwaves as black people demonstrated. Sometimes it was picket lines, sometimes it was the lunch counters, the freedom rides, pushing against segregation in the South. They began again and again to go to the same song, and it became the theme song of the civil rights movement.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, know that I do believe. Oh, we shall overcome someday.
Reverend Tenley's most popular composition was Stand By Me. This is the second most popular song in gospel hymnody, second only to Thomas Dorsey's Precious Lord. It is present in the repertoire of every respectable gospel singer, and they perform it in their own style. Wayne Shirley, music librarian, Library of Congress.
Ah, Stand By Me is not only a song, it's a way of life. A whole slew of gospel songs use the progressions of Stand By Me, and there's a little question as to whether Stand By Me invented these progressions or whether it's simply the first song to use these progressions that was written down. Whichever it is, it's a very great song.
Listen now to a survey of performances of Stand By Me by different artists. We begin with an a cappella rendition by Lou Bell Johnson from Demopolis, Alabama.
When the storm's on, oh, stay by my side.
And we leave Alabama and go to Los Angeles for a traditional gospel quartet performance by the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Lord, when I'm across Chilly Joe, stand by me. When I'm across Chilly Joe, stand by me. When I've done best I can, my best friend don't want to understand. You told me that you had all power in your hand. Won't you just stand by me? Another thing, when I'm a-growing, old and feet, stand by me. When I'm a-growing, hold and feet, stand by me. Oh, I know you can, if you will, fight my battle if I just keep still. I'm not worried because I know you can stand by me. And when I'm a
Caravans of Chicago go to the Baptist lining tradition for their version of Stand By Me.
When the storm of life is raging, come on and stand by me. Me. Come on, Jesus, I need you to stand by me when I'm growing old and feeble. I need you to stand by me.
The Five Blind Boys of Alabama. Some call them the hardest singing gospel quartet coming out of the 50s.
When the storm life raging, stand by me. When the storm life raging, stand by me. When the world tossed in me like a ship out on the sea, I who know it all about it, stand by a child, stand by me. Every day, Lord, stand by your child. As I walk, Lord, and when I'm down,
the voices supreme of Washington, D.C., move this early gospel hymn into the contemporary gospel era with their interpretation of Tenley's Stand By Me.
In the midst of tribulations, stand by me. When the host of hell ascends,
by Me as a phrase is a part of everyday American speech. When you in conversation make a plea to your partner to stand by you, you owe Charles Albert Tinley. Stand By Me has been used as the name of a movie. And during the 1960s, it was moved into secular music by Benny King, who used it for the title of his most popular recording.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Charles Albert Tinley is the foundation of 20th century gospel in that he is the first writer of the new sacred songs that became a working part of gospel repertoire. And he continues to be as contemporary as he is historical, because every generation of African American gospel composers and arrangers has turned to this master songsmith for their new works.
The Tinley songs were songs that came out of an experience. He was a Methodist minister. He was a pastor. And yet, he experienced so many things that the other black people of that era experienced, and he put it in his music.
Reverend Donald Vales and the Corralears received national acclaim for their contemporary arrangement of Charles Albert Tinley's The Storm Is Passing Over.
Encourage my soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Song Ministry of Charles Albert Tinley. This program is part of the Wade in the Water series. It was produced by National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. The senior producer is Judy Moilata. Associate producer Sonia Williams. The technical director Renee Pringle, with engineering support from John Witoff. Production staff includes Beverly Oliver, Joseph Gill, Dakia Simmons, and Tawan Mercer. Reverend Tinley's sermon was performed by Avery Brooks. Special thanks to Wayne Shirley, Ev Grimes, Margaret Howes, N'Jamili Rollins, and NPR member station WGBH. The executive producer is Sandra Ratley. I'm conceptual producer Bernice Johnson Regan.
Major funding for Wade in the Water, African American Sacred Music Traditions, was provided by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Additional support was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Catholic Communication Campaign, a parishioner-funded program that gets the good news around. This is NPR, National Public Radio.